This morning, the New King James Version says it was heard that he was in the house. The NIV says the people heard that he had come home. But I like the King James that said it was noise that he was in the house. This speaks of a rapid spread of the information. You know, if there's a fire going on in a church, the community will know about it quickly. Amen. And I'm convinced that when they heard that Jesus was in the house, that word spread everywhere. And they began to gather in order that they might see him and maybe see a miracle that he was performing. There was excitement in the fact that Jesus was in the house. Well, the service was in progress. The house was full. The speaker was none other than Jesus himself. And when he stood to his feet and started his sermon, I can visualize all of a sudden there was a commotion from up above. And all of a sudden, there was a piece of the tile that had been taken loose, and there was dust and debris that filled the air, and folks were coughing and rubbing their eyes, and maybe there was something like this said, yes, there he is. Jesus is right here. He's in the house. And so they lower the stretcher in front of Jesus. And the crowd stood there stunned and amazed. In silence, they watched these four men lower their friend to the feet of Jesus. And then they hear Jesus say, "Son, your sins be forgiven you. Arise, take up your bed, and walk." Within moments, that man that was paralyzed, he hadn't been able to walk, got up, folded up his pallet, and he walked out the door to the amazement of all the crowd that was there. And these astonished worshipers ended their silence by simply saying, "We've never seen anything like this before." Wasn't it nice to be able to come into church and say, after the Lord met in our midst and he performed miraculous things in our presence, that we could say, "I've never seen anything like this before." I believe God wants to do miraculous things in the midst of this church and every church. I believe that he intends to reach down and work miraculous things in the midst of his people to save the lost, to reclaim the backslidden, to heal those that are sick. He wants to perform miracles. And I understand this morning the astonishment, because I too would long to see something that we don't plan, we don't work up, we don't put it together. But just come in and see the spontaneous moving of the Holy Spirit of God, touching hearts, dealing with lives, meeting needs, blessing our hearts, and when we leave, we can say that we've never seen anything like this before in the house of God. I've told you this story before, but let me share it again about the little boy who went to live with his grandmother. She was a devout Christian lady who never would even give any thought to the fact of missing church on Wednesday night or any other service time. Her faith prohibited her from ever missing. She was a devout Christian. She was loyal to her church. But one day the circus came to town, and that was not unusual, but it happened to be on a Wednesday night during prayer meeting time. So the little grandboy that came to live with her said, "Grandmother, may I go to see the circus tonight?" And she says, "Of course not. You know that we always go to church on Wednesday night. we go to prayer meeting. He said, I know, grandmother, but there is only one performance, and it's tonight. May I go just this one time, please, please, please? Against her better wishes, she conceded. She said, well, just this once, but never again. Later that evening, when the boy returned home and grandmother returned home from prayer meeting, she asked him, son, how did it go? Well, he thought for just a moment and then he confessed, well, grandma, if you ever go to circus once, you'll never want to go back to Wednesday night service. You know, we need for church to be exciting. We need to come in with an expectant heart that God's going to do some miraculous thing. If we come in thinking, well, it's just going to be the routine everyday service like that we always have, that's all you'll ever have. But if you pray and if you work and if you come with an expectant heart for God to do something miraculous, I believe that He'll do it. God is sensitive to the needs that we have, and He's ready to bless us. Well, I want us to note the characters in this story. There's the crowd that packed tightly into the house. Some were friendly. Some were like the scribes. They were unfriendly. There was the paralytic that was helpless. He could not move. He could not do anything on his own. He needed help, and he didn't have any hope. And this is the one that Jesus performed the miracle on. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that those that are without hope and those that are helpless are the ones that Jesus wants to minister to because he cares. And then there's the four philanthropists. They were committed. They were compassionate. And they were also creative in their efforts at bringing their friend to Jesus. Look at the conversations that took place. Much is below the surface. For example, the philanthropists never say a word, but Jesus looks into their hearts and he responds to their faith. And then there's the crowd of people. They look and they say nothing at all until the end, and then amazed at what they were seeing, they glorified God by saying, we've never seen anything like this before. There's the scribes. They do speak, but not aloud. And Jesus carries on a conversation with their nonverbal complaints. But the most important conversation was that between Jesus and this paralytic. Again, it was beneath the surface, and Jesus looks and he sees the need that this man had. Now, everybody that came and saw this man being lowered down on a stretcher, they would have thought that his greatest need was for healing physically. But Jesus saw the greatest need. And the Bible said, he said, your sins be forgiven you. Arise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, both the characters in the story and their conversation with Jesus remind me of the fact of how often each of us come to the house of God. And on the outside, on the surface, we look like we've got it all together. That everything's all right in my house, in my life, that I don't have any needs. But deep down, we have needs, which may not be so apparent to everybody else, but they're apparent to the Lord. Aren't you glad this morning that you have a God that not only cares for you, but that he can look into your life and being omniscient, he can see exactly what your real needs are? Or you may have some needs that are apparent to everybody else that you walk around and live around, but they can't see on the inside. You see, you may have come into church this morning hurting. You may have come into church this morning and there are problems that are going on in your home, in your life. Nobody knows, but he knows, and he cares. The point of this whole miraculous story is that each of us must let Christ meet our deepest needs, and I believe they're represented in these three individual groups: the paralytic, the philanthropist, and the people. Look at the paralytic. Talks about our unspoken needs. There is a sense in which each of us is like this paralytic. We have needs that we may never share with anybody else, but they're nonetheless real. We come into church and we pray and we have prayer requests and we ask God to bless those that are sick, the homebound, those that are bereaved. And it's good that we do, because our God is a prayer hearing and answering God. But there are needs in our lives. Maybe we're walking a guilty distance from the Lord. Maybe there's sin in our life. Maybe there's something that is troubling us in the home. Maybe our job is insecure. We've got problems. We've got worries. Present your needs to the Lord. It's been said, folks don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I'm going to tell you, Jesus cares. He cares about what you're going through, and he tells us, cast your burdens on me. Why? He cares for you. He loves you. He wants to meet your needs, and all of us can have victory in our life, and we can walk with confidence knowing all is well with our soul if we just trust him and throw all of our cares on him. He's got broad shoulders, and he can meet all of our needs. Let me ask you, what do you feel right now that you need more than anything else? It's amazing what folks will say. Some will say, I need a better job. I need more money. Everybody would like to have a little more money, wouldn't they? You know? I need a new home. I need a new wardrobe, you know? I need this and I need that. But the truth of the matter is, what you really need is to have your values changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you really need? I'm going to tell you, when you walk through this life, it's just like some folks came to visit this beautiful home, mansion, estate, and they asked the question, what did this cost? And the servant said, I don't know what it cost in dollars, but it cost the owner his soul. Your values. You're just passing through this old world. This is not your long home. One of these days you're going to reach the time when you're going to leave here. All you've got to do is just look in the mirror and see that you're getting older. You know, I don't want to bust your bubble this morning, but I'm telling you, you're not going to stay here forever. But if you have your values right, then it doesn't matter. It won't matter if the grim reaper comes in and thrusts in that sickle of death and harvests our life. If our life is in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are born again, we're a child of the King, our name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can't lose. I like that colored preacher said. I used to listen to him on the radio. You can't lose with the stuff I use. Well, the philanthropists, they are obviously unaware of any need beyond that of the physical. They couldn't see the need spiritually. But the Lord looks into the heart and he sees the needs of our life. I'm going to tell you, when you came into church this morning and you came in with needs, now you might have laughed and you might have patted folks on the back. You might have shook some hands and gave some good, warm, friendly greetings. And you might have just said all the right things and done all the right things, but on the inside, you're hurting. The Lord knows. If we want God to do something miraculous in our midst in church, then come in and present your real needs, those unspoken needs that are gripping your soul and breaking your heart, and you think there's nobody that can help me. Yes, there is. God can help you. And he wants to help you. And if you come in and present those needs to the Lord, I'm going to tell you, he'll work some miracles right here in this church. He'll work some miracles right here. Well, the philanthropists, the need to be useful. When Jesus looked up at these four fellows, as they lowered their friend down at his feet, what do you think Jesus admired most about these men? The fact that they worked together, they cooperated. The fact that they were compassionate, they cared. The fact that they were creative, they couldn't get him in because of the press. And so they just opened up the roof and dropped him down right in front of Jesus. Pretty good. But I think what he admired most about them was the fact that they believed in his power to change life. Do you really believe that he can change the lives of the folks that we bring to him? Do you really believe that he can touch them, that old black-hearted sinner, and that he can wash away all their sins, and that he can make them a new creature in Christ Jesus? Do you believe that he can make a difference in the lives of folks that we bring to church? Is there anything the church needs today? And there is. It is that renewed belief in the power of Christ to meet the needs of those that we bring to him. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord wants to meet needs, and he'll work miraculous things in our midst if we will just present those needs. Sometimes we're so prideful. You know, if Donald Trump can use the word bigly, I can use prideful. But sometimes we are so filled with pride that we won't present our needs. What'll they think, you know? What'll everybody think about me if I go to the altar and I confess, you know, that I have done this, that, or the other? What'll they think? I'm going to tell you, they'll rejoice. Because if you come and you present your needs, and that's the only way you're ever going to have a miracle in your life, is present those needs to the Lord. You're not presenting them to us. You're presenting them to the Lord. And the Lord is able to forgive you and cleanse you when you admit your need. You know, that's one of the hardest things we've ever tried to do, is just admit, Lord, I have a need. There may be sin in your life. I have a need. There may be some issues that you're dealing with. I have a need. Let God meet that need. Let him meet that need. Well, notice the people. Why do people come to church? Some of you come, you that are here this morning, you come because you love the Lord, and you wouldn't think of doing anything else on the Lord's day but coming to the house of God to worship him because you love him. That's the right, proper motivation. Some have a tremendous sense of obligation about coming to church, and they were raised up going to church, and they have a tremendous sense of oughtness about coming to church. Some want to keep up a social standing. But the truth of the matter is, the primary motivation that each of us should long to find God or better be found by God. And there's something that's unusual that we come to the house of God in order to find is not really something, but it's someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ. He is here this morning. He is in the house. He is in the house. And he's here this morning because he loves us. He promised us, where two or three gather together, my name, I'll be in your midst. He's in the house. But he's here in order to meet our needs. I'm telling you, you're just passing through. One of these days, you're going to leave here. What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Wouldn't it be tragic? Some people think, well, if I can just get more money. But when you come to the time of dying and the doctor tells the family, he says, I've done everything I can do. He's not going to last long. In fact, I visited a lady in the hospital the other day. And her husband was dying. And she told me that the hospice group said that he probably won't last 24 hours. It's amazing how they pretty well know. But when you come to that point in life, will all the money you've made, will that suffice you? Will the nice home that you have, will that suffice you? Will all the friends of popularity and the power that maybe you've amassed in life, will that suffice you when it comes time to die? I'm telling you, the only thing that will suffice is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the answer for here, for life, and for death, and for eternity. He is our answer. Aren't you glad that there's somebody that's in the house that has the power to change your destiny if you come to him by faith and say, Lord, I want you to cleanse me of my sins, come into my heart and be my Savior. He will do that. He's in the house to do that this morning. Amen. Bow with us for prayer.